Today, we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
The Last Word on Today FM.
Finally, it's happening after the countless speculation. Simon Harris went to Áras an Uachtaráin today to President Michael D. Higgins to dissolve the Dáil, hold a general election, after which we will have a new government. Let's hear a little bit more of what Simon Harris said today.
Irish people are decent. They're hardworking. They're fair. And it is the honour of my lifetime to serve as your Taoiseach. In just 7 short months, I've travelled to every part of this beautiful country. I've met thousands of you, and we've discussed hundreds of issues. Your concerns are my priorities. And over the next 3 weeks, I will seek a mandate to continue as your Taoiseach, and to deliver for you on the things that matter most to you, your family, your community, and to our country. I want to secure your future. Others will, of course, seek alternative mandates. And it's vital we have an election that fully considers our very different visions for our country's economic and social future. The progress Ireland has made and can make should never be taken for granted. This election must be a safe and respectful campaign for all politicians and all their teams. And I wish all candidates luck.
Well, let's start with Professor Gary Murphy from Dublin City University. Simon Harris clearly wants to remain as Taoiseach. To do so, though, won't Fine Gael have to have considerably more seats than Fianna Fáil if the two are to go back into coalition together? Or he could see himself having to give the job to Micheál Martin as a rotating Taoiseach?
He could, Matt, or else he could, of course, take first bite in a rotating Taoiseachship, if that's even a word, if Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have much the same seats as they had the last time. So that's certainly a possibility. What we do know is that whoever is going to be the Taoiseach, it will be with in coalition with somebody else. I think that's almost certain. You could potentially have a minority government like we had in 2016, but most unlikely, I think. But he sounds enthusiastic and he sounds up for the job. And just listening to him there, Matt, he sounded completely different than his predecessor in Fine Gael, Leo Varadkar, when he announced the 2020 election and was so downbeat that he got Fine Gael off to a terrible start, whereas Mr. Harris, as is his jaunty style at the last 7 months, seems up for the campaign. And thankfully, it'll be a short 3-week campaign, and because we've had an interminably long wait for this election, which I think we all thought was coming in November, notwithstanding Mr. Harris's view that he wanted to go well into next year. So, game on.
Sarah Carey is with us as well, columnist with the Irish Independent. The way that he spoke about having been in every county in Ireland was almost like a threat that he intends doing that again. Is this going to be a bit like Bertie Ahern's whistle-stop tour of the country that secured him the 1997 election?
Well, it's funny you should mention Bertie Ahern, because I was thinking today how much it feels to me like 2007. I think that's a good parallel. The economy was booming, peak of Celtic Tiger, skyrocketing house prices, a childcare crisis, but full employment. And Bertie Ahern was in huge trouble at the tribunal. But people knew in their hearts there was trouble coming down the line. And fearing the worst, they voted for the status quo and that government was re-elected. And my sense for the past few months, it's been that similar atmosphere. Like, on the face of it, fine, we've all those infrastructure problems. But one of the biggest stories is we need more flights in and out of Dublin Airport because so many people want to travel. The election of Trump has crystallized the fear of external shocks. And, you know, there have been plenty of those. But if we think Trump is coming for our FDI policy, if he's going to attempt to impose tariffs on products coming out of Ireland into the US, threatening the manufacturing jobs, hundreds of thousands of them here, then if people have that sense of fear and threat, then you stick to the status quo. So I think that will be a help to Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil in this campaign. With regard to Fine Gael itself, I think 55 of the 80 candidates it's running are going to be brand new. So that's a huge challenge for Harris. And I'm wondering if a parallel there is something like 2020 and how people were supporting Mary Lou McDonald and the Sinn Féin brand rather than individual Sinn Féin candidates. And will Harris be able, through that going around and shaking every single hand that he can get, and there were jokes being cracked in the June elections, he was out in someone's back garden and hanging up the washing. You know, if he can get that sense of you're voting for him, for Taoiseach and for Brand Fine Gael, will that overcome the challenge of the new candidates?
Let's hear a little bit of the Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin launching his party's election campaign this morning.
The greatest threat to the Irish economy is external, and we need experience and we need leadership that has already demonstrated its capacity to weather significant events and shocks to lead us through the next challenging 5 years. And economically, it will be challenging. There will be a change in the US posture in terms of economics that can impact on our open free trade economy. And the economic model that we have in this country is one that merits debate in this campaign.
So Daniel McConnell, editor of the Business Post, is this Micheál Martin saying, let us stay for stability given our experience rather than taking the chance on change?
Absolutely, and I think the battle will be between stability on the government side and the narrative of change from the opposition. I genuinely see there are going to be four key elements that will determine the outcome of this election. One is that narrative of stability versus change. The second one is we are likely to see the most presidential style campaign ever in Ireland. As we reported last weekend in the Business Post, you know, Fianna Fáil are going to build on that profile of Micheál Martin, as Sarah alluded to, you know, what worked for Sinn Féin in 2020. Fianna Fáil feel, through their own polling, that Micheál Martin's appeal transcends its own party's support base, and they're going to try and maximise that. And the other parties are clear they're going to do that, Simon Harris and Mary Lou McDonald. So it'll be built around the three leaders. The third thing, the factor that will determine it, what impact will the 18 retirees from Fine Gael have on their party in terms of being able to hold seats, not gain seats, but hold the seats that they have. Because John Deasy, who's actually writing for us in the Business Post, has made the point that, you know, it's much, much harder to hold seats when you have a new person in place rather than the incumbent or a long-standing incumbent. And that presents a real challenge. I don't think, yes, it's been talked about, but I think we're now in the heat of an election campaign. That will come home to roost, I think, for Fine Gael, which could tip the balance in favour of Micheál Martin and Fianna Fáil, ultimately ending up being the most popular party. And the fourth one is whether or not Sinn Féin can convince people that they can actually lead the next government. Because, you know, a lot of us in commentators who watch polls are saying, you know, there's a viable path to Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil returning to office based on the current poll ratings. But if Sinn Féin are to lead the next government, what sort of coalition can they actually form to put together a stable government? It's very difficult to see based on their collapse in support, but also the sort of, you know, dolly mixture kind of combination that they would have to put together if Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are not to be included.
There was an expectation as the opinion polls went up throughout the lifetime of this Dáil that Sinn Féin was in position to lead the next government, making Mary Lou McDonald the first female Taoiseach. But if you believe the opinion polls, those chances are receding. Let's just hear a little bit how Mary Lou McDonald opened the Sinn Féin campaign today.
In this election, there is a clear choice. Another Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil government, or a new government for working people, for families, for communities, a government led by Sinn Féin. This is the first general election in which there is a real choice and a real chance to change the government, to return a government led by Sinn Féin. After a century of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, it is now time to make that change, to give Sinn Féin the chance to lead and the chance to deliver. So we're asking people to vote for Sinn Féin to change the government. We're running in this election to win.
The theme of 100 years of a Fianna Fáil Fine Gael duopoly was also brought up today by the leader of People Before Profit, Richard Boyd Barrett.
100 years of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael is enough. They've left us with a dire housing and cost of living crisis, our health service in a mess. We want an Ireland for working people and to provide decent public services and a secure and affordable housing for all. As the election starts, people will focus on the failure to deliver affordable housing, on the cost of living crisis, on the crisis in our health service, and we're saying another Ireland is possible, but we've got to get rid of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to make that happen.
Gary Murphy, does the existing government not represent families, communities, working people?
I think according to itself, Matt, it probably does. I mean, Fianna Fáil, as we know, in the last two elections ran on the slogan Ireland for All and has long prided itself on issues like pre-secondary education. And we saw kind of an angry Micheál Martin in the Dáil before it was dissolved, saying that he was the son of a bus driver and that he was the first in his family to go to third level education and the like. And I do think that is a criticism that is fairly aimed at the left, that they have sort of assume that they are the only ones who want services for everybody else, and it's not quite the case. And if you had Owen Murphy on with you earlier on in the week, and he also made the point that, you know, people in Fine Gael do care about housing, and he cared very deeply, so deeply in fact that you know, his own health suffered. So, I mean, I do think that is a little bit performative of Richard Boyd Barrett and people before profit. But what he does do and what he paints quite accurately, as did Mary Lou MacDonald, that there are sort of two ways to look at this election. One is a sort of macro way. Do you stay with the government or do you vote for change and to vote them out? And then there is the sort of micro issues in relation to health, housing, cost of living and government waste. And they're the four things I think we should probably keep our eyes on during the campaign.
But Sarah Carey, what about Mary Lou MacDonald's position as saying, I'm the only other person who could be Taoiseach other than rotating it between the two lads on the other side again?
Yeah, but who's she going to go in with? Like, that's her fundamental problem. If you vote for Sinn Féin, who else are you voting for? And the problem for the opposition is the fragmentation of the soft left. So you have Labour who got burned because they went into coalition in 2011. Would they be willing to go in again? You've the Soc Dems who were formed out of the Labour Party people, you know, and some independents who felt that Labour going in was a complete disaster. Do they want to go into government? Richard Boyd Barrett does not want to go into government. You know, he may want to change things, but he doesn't want to do it from government and from the executive. So that's her huge, big problem. And I was conducting an intense focus group in Kyo's on South Ann Street last Saturday night, Matt, with a couple of lads from Blanchardstown who were going to be voting for Ruth Coppinger. And I said, OK, so you're left wing. You know, why is that your position? And they said, because Ireland is one of the most unequal countries in the OECD. And I said, yeah, before tax. After tax, we're one of the most equal. We tax the wealthy, we've got the corporation tax, and we hand it in cash transfers to poorer people, and we end up top of the OECD. And they didn't actually know that. So, you know, the 100 years has actually delivered for a lot of people. I know there are huge pressures right now around certain age groups and certain demographics, and say the housing is the big one. And what I'm continually fascinated by is the failure of the younger section of the population to consolidate around a particular party and a particular movement. Because, like, look at the way they're giving, what, pensioners another 12 euros an increase. You know, it's incumbents and people who have houses and are older people who have reaped the benefits of the 100 years. But the younger people still aren't consolidating and not creating a particular voting bloc that would replace Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael yet. And until they do that, we probably are looking at another Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael government.
You see, Danny McConnell, we're talking about a Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil government and forgetting about the fact that the Greens have been in there for the last four and a bit years. I mean, at this stage, is everyone writing off the Greens as a potential member of the next government?
They are, and I think their now former coalition partners are making it absolutely clear that, you know, they went into government with the Greens in 2020 because they had to make up the numbers. They would have preferred not to have gone in. Leo Varadkar made that point in a podcast with my colleague Daniel Murray a week and a half ago, that they, you know, it was a sheer numerical necessity that the Greens went in. I think the realisation is that the Greens did manage to extract a very significant amount from both Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil to go into government. Too much, they would argue, for given their proportional size, but I think we've seen that in the past with the Progressive Democrats and others, that you know, the smaller party can generally kind of get what they want to a large degree. But I think you know there's already a lot of talk about if Labour can get to a certain degree of 10, 12, 14 seats, if that's at all possible, then they are the ideal candidates because they've been in government before, they're responsible, they have an appetite for going into government. They're not like the other parties like the Social Democrats or the hard left, as they see it, who will prevaricate and, you know, talk and but would prefer to snipe and hurl at the dish, as they would say. They're not my words, these are the words that are said to me. But they're also realising as well that quite frankly, you know, there's an awful lot of people who are in the left political spectrum, I think as Sarah rightly said, who, you know, will spend their lives kind of commentating essentially from opposition, but would run a mile if the proposition of actually going into government was put in front of them. So I think, you know, by process of elimination, that you know, and given where the polls are at, and we will have another poll this Sunday in the Business Post, given where they're at and where it's suggesting, you know, as I said earlier, there is only really one viable option or two.
Okay.
But like, let me put it this way, Matt. It took two of the big three parties to form a government in 2020. It'll take two of the big three to likewise this time around. And both Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have all but ruled out going into power with Sinn Féin.
One last one, Gary Murphy, briefly. We haven't mentioned independence because it's possible that we could have dozens of independents in the next Dáil, some of whom may align to a degree, others who will be solely independent, but the majority, I suspect, who won't be interested and being part of government. But how much that might that distort all of the subsequent government formation?
Quite a bit, Matt. I mean, we have to remember that this is 43 little mini elections in each of the constituencies, and certainly there are very strong independents in I would say at least half of the constituencies of the state, and maybe some more. As Danny says, they range from the sort of hard left to what you might call the rural right, and we have then Independent Ireland, a kind of a quasi independent party, and I could certainly see them driving a hard bargain and trying to get into power. Now, the evidence from people like Michael Healy-Ray and Matthew McGrath the last time was they wouldn't go into government either in 2016 or 20. But if you had a large bloc, these people led by Michael Collins and the like, of let's say 10, and if Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael needed 6 to form a government, you could see them joining in. So I do think we need to be very careful when we start talking about blocs and who might join in with who, because independence, I mean, you're looking at 20, well, it'll be very interesting to see Danny's poll on Sunday, but it'll be, you know, we're looking at about 20% independent in the polls. Now, if that translates to, what would that translate to, 25 seats, then that's a very significant block, which will have to be taken into account, because my feeling is some of them would like actually to be in government and get the perks of office, but also to make a difference for their constituents.
Thank you. Gary Murphy, Sarah Carey and Daniel McConnell, all of whom will be part of our coverage of the general election campaign between now and election day in 3 weeks' time.
The Last Word on Today FM.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Ooh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.